Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. I am your host, Ava Muhammad, and once again, welcome to Elevated Places. It is wonderful to be here, and as our announcer said, we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. We are pleased and honored to be streaming live on WKBOL 100.1 FM in Waterloo, Iowa. KBOL also carries The Time and What Must Be Done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and also invite you to hear Torchlight with host Michael Muhammad Fridays at 11:30 a.m. Central, 12:30 Eastern. And, of course, I invite you to be with me live every Sunday at 4 Central, 5 Eastern on the Talk of the Town, WVON 1690 AM, right here in Chicago. If you are outside of Chicago, WVON.com carries our programs live streaming, and you can just download the iHeart app free on your smartphone or your tablet and listen to the conversations on WVON whenever you wish. And, of course, Elevated Places is all about you. It is a forum where we engage in open and intelligent discussion. The conversation is about freedom, justice, equality, and economic independence and determination for the 40-plus million descendants of slaves here in North America. Follow me on Twitter at Dr. Ava Muhammad, and don't forget to order your copy of Real Love at avaspeaks.com. And if you truly desire real and complete independence for the 40 to 60 million black people here, then visit economicblueprint.org and become part of our final push for freedom, justice, and equality. In the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we must have some of this earth to produce our people's needs. And so it is great to be back home in Chicago. I had an incredible weekend, even though I was worn out by the believers in Newark, New Jersey, the legendary Muhammad Mosque number 25, Newark, New Jersey. And I want to congratulate the MGT class and the Vanguard for their sponsoring of a phenomenal day on Saturday, starting with a brunch and panel discussion with a glittering array of brilliant black women from the Newark and surrounding community. Also on the panel was Dr. Gwendolyn Grant, who is a psychologist and contributor to Essence magazine. We had present there Frederica Bay, who is one of the founders of Women in Support of the Million Man March. This is a really strong and powerful group of black women. who engage in property acquisition and who were very instrumental in pushing the Million Man March in 1995. And, of course, Newark and parts of New Jersey delivered over 50,000 men to Washington, D.C., October 16, 1995. That evening, there was a wonderful community banquet giving awards out to some of the powerful and longstanding activists in that city. And then, of course, Sunday, I was blessed to speak at Muhammad Mosque number 25. It was just a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and I'm overjoyed and honored to have been a part of it. Brother Terrence Muhammad, the traveling man. I hear you in the background. Can you talk to us about what we need to know? And assalamu alaikum to you.
Well, alaikum salam, Dr. Ava. I just wanted to start and say that I also want to give big ups to those believers in Newark, New Jersey, Mosque number 25. There was a buzz going on all the way up to New York and all the way down to Philadelphia about you coming to Mosque number 25. And I also want to give a shout-out to the anti-violence group in Newark, New Jersey has been standing strong in the city. I don't know if she listened to one of my good friends on the New Black Panther Party and activist Keisha Uru, who accepted that award, and she was just so happy to be in the presence, in your presence, Dr. Ava, but they're doing a mighty, mighty work in Newark, New Jersey.
Yes,
speaking to the violence that's going on. They always have a rally in the streets. And it wasn't asking anybody, but having a rally in the streets, bringing attention to the violence in Newark, New Jersey. So your voice was a needed and well-accepted voice in the city of Newark this past weekend. So we thank you for that. And also just want to start making everyone aware that we definitely do want them to follow you at Dr. Ava Muhammad on Twitter and Elevated Places on Facebook. But we also want people to start to request. I've been hearing that there are these speakers coming on campuses and conferences for $20,000, $15,000, you know, all this money and not necessarily saying anything. But if you want someone to speak truth and straight words and give you the divine knowledge, not only of black people, but a strong representative of what a civilization needs as a strong black woman, we want you to go ahead and tweet Dr. Ava and request her presence, wherever, your church, your bar mitzvah, whatever it may be, she will show up to teach and guide because she is that spokesperson for Minister Louis Farrakhan. And also want to remind everybody that he is coming to Indianapolis December the 1st, so everybody make your way to Indianapolis. You do not want to miss hearing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. God willing, he will be there that Sunday, December the 1st, at 4 p.m., a free, I mean free, event at the Indianapolis Convention Center, so you got to make your way there. And I will add that on this past Monday in the state of North Carolina, we're still dealing with the issue of Moral Monday and dealing with our legislative and all of the criminology and stuff that the legislature is doing here in the city. But one of the things that was stated is that in Greensboro, North Carolina, we are the third on the list of the top 10 hungriest cities in the United States. We are number three in food insecurity. And it just shocked me that, you know, we are one of those cities that need it. And I say that we really need to support the Economic Blueprint. Go to economicblueprint.org and support the Economic Blueprint of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and get us some land so that we can feed our people, because the disparities of wealth is growing. Poor people are getting poor and richer are getting richer. As I was at a conference yesterday with the fast food workers, they are still protesting, saying that they cannot live on $7.25, the minimum wage in this area, and they're trying to struggle even though they're working. They are the working poor, but they're getting poor and the richer are getting richer. So we must do something for ourselves. And there's a lot of stuff in the news that we may be talking about tonight, but there's so much going on, Dr. Ava. I think that, as you have always said, the theme of the show, we want to elevate our people, but we want to elevate them and start to move them in the process of separation, because all of the tragedy, all of the news, all of the things that I'm looking at in the news is just giving us all the signs that we need to know that we must do something for self. So tonight, Elevated Places, we are welcoming your calls. We're waiting for your calls, but I'm serious about making sure that not only do we get Dr. Ava on every social media, airways, TV, radio that we possibly can, but we want you to invite her to your city and let her speak to the masses of our people and give them the knowledge that they need, because we are seriously suffering in our communities.
That's exactly right, and thank you for that, Brother Terrence. And we are also joined tonight by our Elevated Places contributor and the Minister of Agriculture. That post has always been crucial, but that's the point post at this moment. Ministry of Agriculture, taking control of our food and food supply. And, of course, Dr. Rizzi, we're happy to have you here this evening for this discussion. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And it distresses me greatly that my former city of Greensboro is number 3 on the list of food insecurity.
Yes.
It distresses
me. That's amazing in the South.
Well, I mean, you have a major black HBCU land-grant institution
right
there, and yet the people are so poor that they can't afford to eat. That's basically what it's saying. And so, you know, the economic development, and unfortunately, if you go around the black colleges and you go around white colleges, you will see the difference in the economic development. Whether it's a white college, around that you see light and development. Around black colleges, you see a fence. And then on the outside of that fence, you see ghetto. You see, when I say ghetto, I mean poverty. So something is going on incorrectly with this whole educational system, our whole economic development, our leadership, the direction they're moving. Something is wrong. And here, we're here. We don't want to be too boastful, but we got the plan. Mr. Farrakhan got the plan. We've had 45 years of integration. Look what we got. Greensboro, number 3 on the list of people who can't eat good. So, yeah, that's where, you remember, that's where it started, you know. One of the places where it started, where they sit down at the lunch counter at Woolworths.
That's right.
And now, what did we win?
Exactly.
I'm not going to take it up all night, but whoop, there it is.
No, you're exactly right. And, you know, every day we find, and, of course, we were talking Sunday on the WVON version of Elevated Places, and Sister Starla Muhammad, who is an assistant editor now of the Final Call News, is working on a story regarding the killing, the slaughter of black women. That is increasing. I think the latest incident involved, I don't know if you all saw the video clips on the news, where a black woman was pulled over by the police for speeding ended up, the police tried to break into her car by breaking the glass with a stick or a bat. And the woman drove off, and they shot at her minivan, which was filled with children, 5 children. The children were screaming with terror when the police were trying to break into the window. Now, keep in mind, this was a traffic incident.
That's right.
And I really don't want to keep going over the same thing.
Right.
In other words, the facts of these cases, because it almost becomes self-defeating in that we don't want to get caught up on a vicious cycle of resolving the issue by talking it out and by investigating and demanding that somebody be held accountable. It is time to get to the root cause of our problems, which is that we live in a world that is structured on white superiority and black inferiority. And there is just no other solution. And if someone has heard of one, I'm open to hear it. But I agree and submit to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that separation is the best and only solution. Because all of these black people who have been attacked, who have been assaulted, who have been murdered, were seeking to escape the police. And the reason they were running is they were afraid for their lives.
That's right.
Like the sister in Washington, D.C., who was gunned down by Capitol Police. But again, here's a congressman, one of the so-called Tea Party people, who was busted with cocaine, and he got probation. And there's a big discussion over whether or not he should continue his career. Now, that's unimaginable to me that there's a discussion about his career when cocaine should get you placed firmly in the criminal justice system. There should be no issue as to whether you have a career anymore. You've got a mayor in Toronto, Canada, crack smoker, alcoholic, crazy person. But yet he is looked upon with admiration. And so this whole effort by Negro talking heads to engage us in the same political process that we've been in for the last 50 years that we died for, and I'm talking about voting now.
Right.
That we're constantly being chided about voting, about getting educated. The same old stuff we've been talking about since slavery.
Yep.
And we did it. We did all
with
overwhelming success. And yet our condition has declined to the point where every time we walk out of our house, get in a car, go to a store, we are in danger.
That's
and
right.
So there is no other choice but to go for self, and we can't do that without an economic base. That's why Minister Farrakhan has put in front of us the economic blueprint for ending poverty and want. And we have to remember that this is not about religion. It's not about politics. It's not about theological arguments. As black people, we have a common ancestry, a common history, and a common destiny. That's what our decisions have to be based upon. So call us at 347-324-5091 for tonight's discussion.
Minister Ava.
Yes, sir, Dr. Ridgely. Yes, sir.
You know, the sister who was recently pulled over, you know, the point, when they said that the charges they have against her are assault, you know, an officer or something. And then they had child abuse.
Oh, yes, yes.
Child abuse.
Yes.
They shot at the car that the children were in, and they accused her of child abuse?
Absolutely.
Come on now.
Yeah, so, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yes, yeah, she endangered her children. That's what they're
talking about. Right, she endangered her children by them shooting at the car, and she wasn't shooting back. But they were shooting at the car, so they got her for child abuse. That's what the laws, all the laws are on the books waiting for a black person to step across the line so they have the excuse to put us away. And white folks would never see them do it. So we just got to get out of here because no matter what law we vote and they put in a law, we're the only ones who have to abide by it.
Yeah, nothing is applicable to us in the reality. And
yeah.
And it's almost criminal. I love what you're saying. You know, we keep saying things like, "Well, let's get rid of the stand your ground law." That's not the point.
Right.
You know, laws, as the minister has said, are the outgrowth of attitudes, views, and belief systems.
Mm.
Every law that exists in this paradigm is designed to facilitate white supremacy. Any law that no longer does that effectively is done away with. And if it remains in existence, they openly violate it. You know, today, the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, finally got himself a little, I guess he went somewhere and bought a couple of ounces of manhood and stood up finally in the Senate and passed, led a rule that was passed in the Senate, which is already a Democratic majority that has sat around and allowed the minority Republican Party to block all of President Obama's, virtually all of his judicial appointments, especially to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, why does that matter? It matters because most of the federal cases, agency cases, come to that court, and secondly, that court tends to be the pool from which U.S. Supreme Court justices come. And every president can secure his legacy and actually push his party's ideology beyond his own term and really for decades if he can appoint Supreme Court justices. President Obama, I think he's done two or three appointments. He may have one more before he's out of office. But all of his judicial appointments have been blocked because of this stupid rule in the U.S. Senate that requires not a simple majority for something to pass, but it requires a threshold vote of 60. Now, in every other reality in life, a simple majority wins.
Come on.
You know, if the Miami Heat play the San Antonio Spurs and they win by 1 point, they win.
Right. That's right.
You know, Boston Red Sox versus New York Yankees, you don't have to win by 20 points.
Come on.
At the end of the game, whoever has more is the winner. But in the U.S. Senate, you can't just have 51. You have to have 60. And this has prevented the president from getting anything done, particularly with judicial appointments. And so Harry Reid, who's the Democratic Senate Majority Leader, has always had this ability, but he, like all of them, belongs to Wall Street, has not done it. But it got to be too much for him. You know, there's a point where you can only take so much wrong, and that if you have any right in you, it's going to surface. And that's what happened today. And he stood up today and said, we've had enough of this. You have completely imprisoned this president. And so he put on the floor a rule. The Democratic majority passed it. And that has cleared the way for President Obama to appoint these judges. But I'm going through all that to your point, Dr. Rizzi, that we spend all of our energy and time fighting over laws that will never be interpreted to our benefit.
Right.
And no one can ever prove the messenger and the minister to be wrong in stressing to us that your political power is empty and illusory if you lack economic independence.
That's right.
Because you have nothing to back up. All you have is a vote. That's all you have. And so unless and until we establish an independent world within the United States, we have 50 states here, each of which has a degree of autonomy. And all we are saying is, A, we are not from here. B, we have never been assimilated and never will. C, we are being deprived of every constitutional right. And therefore, we demand a separate territory of our own within the borders of the United States or elsewhere. And Minister Farrakhan has clarified and said, first it's going to be within these borders. So
that's
where we are right now.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And Dr. Ava, I just like to add, and, you know, I know our callers will have a wonderful and powerful discussion.
Yes, sir. They're lining
up. I want to say, and I want to say to us, those that are members of the nation and those that are supporters of the nation, you know, we have a lot of questions sometimes about what's the next step or what should we do. I'm a hip-hop lover, and this is one song by Eric B. and Rakim, and it's called Follow the Leader. So as we're discussing tonight, let's discuss the directions that have been given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan, because they will cut down on the questions if we just follow the leader and what has been given to us, because what you just stated is so powerful. If you just look at the history of Las Vegas, they would not worry about politics. They would not worry about politicians. But they went out, got them a land, and set up their world. And that's then they got the money, and then they brought in, they bought their politicians. And as we know, this whole country, we have a problem with major corporations. We didn't say major politicians, major corporations,
right?
Because what? They have the money, and that's what's controlling the government. So if we want to have our own, economics is the basis, and land is the basis for that.
Well,
and that's
like
exactly
to,
right. Yes.
I like to jump on something that he just said. It just struck me. It's something that's been said before, but it just struck me as being so deep. He said we have to follow the leader, and really that determines whether you're separate or not, who you gonna listen to, who you gonna obey.
That's right.
And it starts with obeying a black voice instead of a white voice. So that's the first step to our separation. Thank you, Brother Terrence.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. See, our problem is we violate the laws of nature.
Right.
Plain and simple. And these Negro talking heads and politicians are leading us to believe otherwise. They are, listening to them is like reading sentences where every other word is missing. Because they have to edit their thinking and communication to be palatable to the slave master.
Mm-hmm.
But what they end up doing is wasting our time.
Mm.
You know, for example, I heard somebody on the radio say, in the wake of the sister being shot in the face, what lessons can we learn? Who's interested in learning a lesson from my child having her face shot off?
Come on.
No, the proper response to that is dictated by nature. And that is to go and find the culprit and make sure that the culprit is brought to justice in a manner that is a deterrent to anybody else that's thinking like that.
That's right.
And you go get up in the web of a black widow spider, anybody else watching that is going to stay away from that web.
That's right.
And you go up and tamper, you know, with an anaconda's eggs. You know, and everybody watching the response will understand that's not something you want to do. But we're the only people that all we do is say, first thing we have is the adjective unarmed. I hate that. Police shoot unarmed female. I mean, we always have to qualify for sympathy and understanding. Every black male that's murdered, their parents got to come out and talk about what a good student they were and how they were not in a gang. What if they were in a gang?
Come on.
The guy that killed the TSA agent out in LAX, he's alive.
Come on.
He's a terrorist, and he's alive.
That's right.
You know, and so that alone, the use of adjectives in a certain way, every time we're victimized, there has to be this debate and discussion. Now, one of the big favorite topics as of late, especially that's loved by the homosexual community, is anti-bullying. Don't bully anybody. You know, they send home stuff from school. Is your child a bully or the victim of a bully? Call the bully number, hotline. So don't bully people. Don't bully people. So then when the white boy on the team in the NFL threatens the black man and threatens to kill his family, and he leaves the team, now there's got to be this discussion. Oh, well, that should be expected.
Come on.
This is a sport. If he's any kind of man, he should have took it. He should have took having his family threatened.
Come on.
You see, this is what we have to come up out of. And we're not going to come up out of it in the structure that we live in. Because as long as we live in it, on a conscious and subconscious level, we will see white people as God. And that's our problem. So we're gonna go to the phones because we already have a long line of callers, and we've got Brother Seven Truth, and he has a comment. You are live, Brother Seven Truth. Welcome to Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, Minister Ava. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence.
Alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, I really wasn't going to say anything, but the fact of me trying to hold my sword in is going to end up cutting my mouth open. So I'd rather speak what is on
yes,
my
sir.
Heart. Y'all got a cavalcade of information tonight. However, I wanted to just start and try to be as quickly and as brief as I can. Yes. I do agree. Separation. I could yell that from, oh my goodness, from every mountaintop, because we really need to get them out of here, or we got to get out of here. But I want to address, because 11-1, remember that we got them 11-1, but with the sister and with the minivan incident, I watched the video and I wanted to understand where the intimidation and all of that came from. I'm going to walk it backwards. The police officer that shot in the back rear of that minivan couldn't do nothing but hit children had he hit them. So he was asked, and I don't know if he's been admonished on that or anything, but he was absolutely clearly wrong. The incident escalated when an initial stop. The police officer told her he was going back to his vehicle from the passenger side he was standing on. She drove off, which is clearly a no-no, which escalated the incident. When he came back, he wasn't in a nice mood. Now, snatching a person out of the car and all of that, no, you don't do that, especially on a young lady. Her son got out and decided that he was going to accost the officer off of his mother, which escalated the incident even further. So he ran, when the officer pulled his taser, the young man ran back into the vehicle, and she pulled off again. He called for backup, and now he needs that teenager out of the vehicle. That's what the breaking of the window was about. The children are screaming and all of this, and everything is going wrong. She pulled off a third time, and that third time is where the shots and everything were fired into the vehicle, and they later caught up with her and charged her with all this, child endangerment, and the teenage boy, he was even arrested and detained on the situation for wrestling and tussling with the officer. But in a situation, not to say, okay, well, she was just wrong and it should have went that way. They wouldn't have treated nobody with a bright face like that ever in America, okay?
Right.
Never would they have done that. Dick Gregory was on today about the senators are standing up now for Barack Obama and speaking out. I didn't hear Senator Harry Reid, you mentioned it, Minister Ava, but there's another senator, and he said that this health care thing, that they just jumped all over about people keeping their junk health care. And
right.
The standard of the law now is if you got a junk health care, the health care industry has to raise up to the law's standard, which is going to cause some people to have to pay more. So they call him, our president, a liar. A liar, a liar, and it's going all over. They got so many talking points on it. But y'all didn't say anything about that former President Bush of United when he lied, and it cost lives. No one said anything. But this man is trying to help. And I am glad that now some congressmen and senators are standing up and saying, look, y'all have done everything y'all could to impede this man. And now the time and what must be done.
Yes.
The minister's not going to keep speaking. Minister Ava said it. She said it from the rostrum. He's not going to keep speaking. And the stronger the message gets, the more time passes, the more we are going to come out of her with great substance.
That's right.
And with that, assalamu alaikum and peace to all of my family.
Walaikum salam. Seven truth. Speaking the truth. I got to say this, that I'm so glad Brother Seven Truth brought up this affordable health care thing, because the American public has been made so shallow that we'll miss things and just zoom past us. All of this hoopla that President Obama, when he was out campaigning for health care, and he said, if you like your policy, you can keep it. And I'm going to show you in this quickly why we have to separate. Because as Brother Burrell, the media icon, said, we're not dark-skinned white people.
That's right.
And they're not light-skinned black people. There are inherent differences. Now, I'm going to show you how we think completely differently. Because we're created in truth, and they are made from a lie. President Obama said, if you like your health insurance, you can keep it. People are now, when the exchange opened last month, some people started getting cancellation notices from their insurance companies. So immediately the Republicans jumped all over that and said, see, he's a liar. He said you could keep it if you liked it. But when a person is a truth teller, it's just the opposite. Inherent in a truthful individual is the presumption. When I tell you you can keep your policy if you like it, there's a presumption that your policy is real.
Come on.
The policies that are being canceled are the junk policies.
Mm.
The Affordable Health Care Act, which they're calling Obamacare, not only protects the uninsured, it protects the misinsured, the underinsured. The people in this country, and a lot of them are these little Tea Party rednecks that can't stand him because he's black, who have bought insurance policies that are no good.
Mm.
Those commercials, oh, you can have this health insurance for $1 a day.
Come on.
Go on and get it, and if you get anything worse than indigestion, you are not covered.
Mm.
Right.
Come on.
The majority of bankruptcies in America that are filed because of medical costs and catastrophic illnesses. Some of the biggest gangster, criminal, pirate, dog, rat, snake, reptile scum on the earth are the insurance companies.
Come on, that's right.
That's right.
And they have been getting away with selling the American people crap. They are carnival hustlers. They're like W.C. Fields in his movies. He used to say, count your change before you leave the window. He's letting you know, because I'm going to take your money, okay?
That's right.
So, you know, when President Obama said that, he's saying if you like your policy, that's if you have a real policy.
Come on. Bring it down.
So these rip-off rapist insurance companies, they're canceling people because they can no longer rob them. So they gotta now they gotta provide you with a real health insurance policy, so you got to pay a couple more dollars.
Right.
So that if you get a diagnosis of cancer, heart disease, brain tumor, stroke, something like that, you will be covered. Because insurance that doesn't cover real illness is not insurance.
That's right.
So I just want to—I'm so glad he brought that up, because I just want us to understand when we hear that Obama lied. He said you could keep your policy. You didn't have no policy.
That's right.
Well, see, who knows that, Minister Ava, unless you teach us.
But that's what Doc said is a real reality. Who knows unless the people are taught? And they're
that's
so stuck
true.
In the ignorance based off the media that's controlled by the same people that's Ooh. Helping with this insurance and the policies, then they will be lied Ooh. To and they'll be hoodwinked, bamboozled, and yes. led amok. That's what's going on.
You're right. And that's why we got to get out. That's why
Wait.
We got to get out. I'm going to go to a very powerful warrior in the struggle for freedom, justice, and equality, who is named Warrior, Warrior Woman. Warrior Woman, you are live on Elevated Places. It's so good
Ooh.
To have you on.
Shidamina, Shukran, peace and love, all of you, family.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
you too,
to me, I just get so fed up that we don't realize reality. You know, since the white man landed here, since he's been here, it doesn't matter what color is in the United States government. The United States government is imperialism, and we're not included. Right now, the indigenous people are sitting on 75 to 90% natural resource. That's why they want to assimilate us, so we can marry white and have white half babies and just, you know, be nuts like them. You know, I mean, we've seen what they did to Libya, making them eat the green book and have them eat green material and kill anybody that was black. I mean, if I was black, I would have gotten pissed off because I was pissed off, you know, and go shoot some white people, you know. I'm a revolutionary at heart. Our elders told us 30-some years ago that purification is going to come, you know, just like what they told Elijah from the Hopi, Thomas Binyaka, you know, purification, you know, unless we got this mind and this heart and this voice. If we don't have it together about creation and natural creation, you know, then we're going to go down with the enemy. We're going to live like him, act like him, talk like him, dress like him, take their jobs and babysit their children. You know what I mean? And they want to come back and say, oh, now I realize, you know, today I sometimes go on these stations where these redneck psychologists are talking, but they're all geared towards white psychology, the poor white guy, you know. Then I told him, well, I thought that all white men are, you know, potential homosexuals, you know. I mean, that's the way they were in the past, and that's what they are today popping out, and cannibalism.
Right.
If we don't realize that, you know, we come from a beautiful culture that's connected to the land and the clouds and the rain and the stars, if we don't understand that natural power and elements, all we have to do, you know, if we had it together, is just get together and move forward. They move out of the goddamn way. We outnumber them, you know? We outnumber them. And so, I mean, take Libya as an example. They killed how many thousands of them, and maybe 1,000 even left in prison, but they're still fighting. And this is what we have
That's
to
right.
do. Physically fight them and resist any kind of temptation, because once we get on the land, you know, it's creation and the power of it. You know, when it rains, you're not just going to run inside. To us, it's ceremony, you know. You're happy that it's happening. So your mind thinking is Western philosophy way of thinking. It's not traditionalism. It's not cultural. It's not ceremonial. And until we get there, we'll just try to separate, because I'd like to see the black community separate totally, you know. That's why we said, you know, if we could just do and take our own resources underneath these reservations, the last resource this country has. Can you imagine how much power that is, you know? But we're going to start at scratch. That's what we did here at Redwood. We've got 240 acres, you know, been here over 20 years, you know, and we're still cleaning toilets and, you know, getting things ready for people for the weekend, you know, and it's I'm happy to do that. But I think the people need a slap in the face. You know, it's like, let's go and let's start doing this. If not, get out of my way, you know, because they're going to kill us. And, you know, like I said, no prisoners. You can't take any prisoners because they're going to kill you anyway, so you might as well kill the, you know, the hostage and the people, you know. But we have to have people that are going to be, you know, the army. We've got to have the people that know the economy. We need to know the ones that are going to work the land, but to work it as part of it, you know, not to work it as a worker. We always say we're building
exactly.
our nation here. You know, we're building this place as your home, you know, to
exactly.
say there is freedom here we can see, you know. We don't have to deal. I mean, once we come out and we start talking white English, you know, then we're talking craziness and madness and even Obama said the other day, because I don't listen to the news that much anymore, you know, and Obama says, oh, yeah, they called Oprah Winfrey Susie. They used to call me that. I mean, is it showing up more for him? Is he letting it out little by little, you know, that everybody already knows? I mean, in the media or in the Internet, they're already showing and kissing some white man. I mean, you know, if you're black, hey, kiss a black person. What the hell are you kissing some white man? You know what I mean?
That's right.
Sick. That's even sicker that we don't even like ourselves, you know, and that's how come we say, you know, it's us, we, and our. And until we get to that point and move forward with it, you know, they have the money. No, they don't. They have no money. They do things on credit and debit and all this other stuff. We're the ones sitting on the money. We're the ones, the workers. We're the builders. That's why I said, ready for a revolution. Be dumb, man.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Warrior Woman. She brings it. She brings it.
That's my people.
Beautiful.
And Dr. Ava, I think, you know, the people have requested, and they've been requesting. I don't know how we can do it, and I think we may have to find a way. I'm going to have to help you get back out that series called Mind Wars. And
we've
got to get that series back out, Mind Wars, because what she just showed, demonstrated, and talked about is a mindset that is free from the oppressive thought process. As you can hear in her voice and her spirit, she has no consideration, no thought, no fear of the oppressor because she is nowhere near or around. She has completely separated herself on a land of her own away from them, and that's why she can speak like that. And one of the things she said, your consciousness will grow differently once you're around your own. And Dr. Ridgely said, once you see us at Savior's Day or Holy Day of Atonement, there's a spirit, there's an energy, there's a love that we get that we always want to go back, because when we leave Savior's Day and Holy Day of Atonement, we go back into a community that does not look like the community that we just left at our major event. So when we get
absolutely
in our own-
the whole energy is completely different. And, you know, as you just said beautifully, Brother Terrence, Warrior Woman's ability to see so clearly comes from living with your own people and on your own land that you are cultivating for you. And the other thing she said that I was affected by, and we look at the condition of our youth and how they've been alienated so terribly and disconnected from civilized behavior and energy output, it's because of the disconnect from land, from the earth. We're the Asiatic black man.
Come on.
That's right.
You know, the Asiatic earth, we are the people of the earth. The earth is essential to us. We not only need some of this land to call our own, to grow food, but to grow spiritually ourselves.
That's right.
You know, to God is not in the text messages and you know, Instagram and porno.
Come on.
You know, God is in the sun, moon, and stars.
Woo!
You know, you want to get high. The minister said that there's nothing more exhilarating than to be able to take your idea and make it a reality. That's what Allah, God, does.
That's right.
He says he is the doer of what he intends. And if you can do what you intend, you don't need cocaine and crack and weed and liquor and nicotine and pig and all this stuff. You don't need any of that, and that is not what we were created for. So thank you, Warrior Woman, so much. We're going to go right down to Brother Joseph is on, and he has a comment. Brother Joseph, assalamu alaikum. You're live on Elevated Places.
Wa alaikum salam. This is Dr. Ava.
Yes, sir.
And to your guests, Dr. Wrigley, Brother Terrence, and all the rest of the fine folks that are believing tonight and will believe, especially after your show tonight, if they believe, sister, they're going to believe tonight.
They're going to believe, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm just sitting here just soaking up every bit of every word, you know, and it's just so wonderful to have, you know, people on our team like yourself and the rest of the brothers and sisters with that information. I want to say, like, what the brother said about following the leader. And that's the thing we got to do. No if, and, or buts about it. We got to follow the leader, not a leader. You know, when you say, hey, you're talking about that which not and will not do nothing. But when you say the, that means motion, action, and reality. So Mr. Farrakhan is the leader with the leader, which is the Christ, Psalm Elijah Muhammad. So we follow them. We can't miss out. We can't do nothing but keep progressing and can continue to build this economic base program that we got, because that's the only game in town today.
Sure.
And I don't mean a game as a game. What I mean by that, which is going to gain us that stability, gain us that peace of heaven and that mindset that we can help our people. So I just thank y'all for your show. And I'm just sitting here just relaxing and, I mean, I can't do nothing but just keep on listening, sister. I appreciate you. May Allah continue to bless everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Joseph, and thank you for that. And it goes back to what you just said, Brother Terrence, about to get the, us being together among ourselves. And you know, trust and believe, when we wander into areas that white people feel they have locked down, their primary thought is how to get us out of there.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, and this is why the poor little brother went up in Barney's in New York, saved up his money, you know, went in there with $350 to buy a belt, and they instantly accosted him. They say, they send the police after you for making a purchase, okay?
Right.
And so, you know, recently Reverend Al Sharpton was on, and he was bemoaning racial profiling. That's the other thing. We just, whatever term they give something, we adopt it. You know, Roy, it's racial profiling. I mean, that sounds so innocuous, racial profiling. That's like dating profiling. You know, we're not being racially profiled. We're being murdered.
That's right.
Okay. You know, his mother, father, which he was racially profiled. Okay? I mean, these people are unbelievable. So he's talking about racial profiling and blah, blah, blah. And a brother finally called in and said, and then he says, well, statistically, you know, Al Sharpton, you know, he's got somebody on talking about how we're not the ones that steal and shoplift. White people shoplift more than us. See, that's another, you know, red herring. And we're talking about who does the most shoplifting. And the brother called in and said, it's not even about that. It's not about a shoplifting. It is our presence.
Come on.
It is our presence. And overlearned, you know, you can't get enough money for them to want you around. They don't want to see us.
Period.
Period. And if we had any sense, we would not want to see them either, except
that's
in the most fleeting manner. You know, and so we have got to start thinking every day, all day, on an exit strategy. Think of one for yourself.
Right.
You know, what do you have in mind for your future? Are you have a future plan that embeds you deeper into their society? Or does it start to pull you away from their society?
Mm. Good question.
So Sister Barbara is on the line. Welcome, Sister Barbara. She always brings us something valuable. You're live on Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you, Salam, and thank you very much, Sister. And to your panel, I just wanted to state about something Minister Farrakhan had told us to watch the weather. And so not only I watched the weather in America, I watched the weather all over the world. And Britain is facing the worst winter in 60
That's
years.
Right.
And
right.
Exposed the last 3 months with persistent cold air and snow. So I can just imagine what that's going to do to their economy and the economy, and it's going to affect other places in the world, too.
Mm.
And it's 100 days of heavy snow. And the other thing that I was going to point out is what's going on in Washington. They're trying to push through a bill, and they're trying to get this so-called, they're trying to recruit these blacks who said that the new gay is, black is the new gay. And they're trying to get these people to align themselves with them because they're trying to pass two bills. One of the bills that they're trying to pass is one that gives permission to have sex with children.
Oh,
and
my God.
And saying that it's like homosexuality, it's a sex orientation. And this other man in Massachusetts, he's trying to put forth a bill that gives permission to have sex with animals. So that alone is enough to make us want to separate ourselves from these people who are morally and spiritually dead. Because we do not want our children interacting with them in school. Now, like the Sister Warrior said, most white people have leaning toward the bazaar, whatever it might be. And to have these people standing, teaching our children, putting forth these suggestions in their heads and with what they presented, the way they present themselves to them, we cannot allow that. We cannot allow our children, who is our future, to interact with these demons. So if that alone is enough for me to want to go to war. That's our children. That's our future. And we can give up all our coach bags. We can give up our fine house, our fine cars. I go sit, live in a tent on our land. That's how much I'm tired of these perverted people and the kind of thoughts and ideas that they're putting in our children's heads, even with the cartoons. You know, everything, and our children are just moving toward being demons, listening to all of these horrible rap people. I do not like rap artists. I'm sorry, Brother Terrence. I do not like them. I think they are perverted. I think they're cowards. I think they're scared to stand up and say the truth. They're not Tupac, and they don't come close to them because they got a cowardice in them. You got to speak truth to power. And they have a platform, and they should use it for our people. They shouldn't sweet talk it. They should talk it. You know, don't play with it. Give it. Because this time is running out for our play, and a lot is tired of us. You know, tired of us not doing and doing what we're supposed to do like our leaders tell us to do. Get our people. Save our children. And thank you very much, and as Minister Farrakhan always say, excuse my passion, but that's all I have. I love
We love you. We love you. And Dr. Ridley, before I make a comment, did you have anything you want to add?
No, man, I'm just saying go ahead.
You know, and I would say, sister, that I would never apologize for the right spirit. I would never say apologize for the right passion that you have, because one of the things that you pointed out is that we have to be very clear and aware of all the laws and the things that are being passed and are going on. Because as you said, when we talk about our children in these school systems, there are certain schools, and I remember years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, where they were talking about having or had schools in New York that were situated for homosexual children so that homosexual children will feel comfortable in the school system. Now that we're in the whole issue of civil rights and justice and progressive movement, you cannot not find a homosexual in the progressive movement. They are in it, and they have aligned with the civil rights movement. So as you're talking about workers' rights, civil rights, racial profiling, then you have to also put in the LGBT community, because they are a force, and that is a sad reality. And what you're talking about is that things that we have to watch, because a lot of that is going on, and their social equality is being exposed to us, and we have to separate ourselves from that lifestyle, from that culture, because it is damaging and it is causing sickness to ourselves. And I will say this, and not to dispute or debate, I definitely understand what you're saying about the culture of hip-hop, because I say hip-hop is just like black people. Black people are not innately evil, bad, and crazy, but we have been made into our enemy. So just as the goodness of hip-hop originated, it has been made now into the craziness of this world, even though there are artists that are not on the radio. And it's funny that you say that, because I just put on Twitter today, hip-hop is not what you, is not just what you hear on the radio, and hip-hop and black people are not just what you see on TV. So this is what Elevated Places is trying to do, is show a different image of black people and also show a different image of a culture that has been taken over by this enemy. So I think what you're saying, the passion that you have, is right, and you're right. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you know, we can teach under a tree. So we should stop waiting to look for all of these things to move out and to separate. But we have to first, as Dr. Ridges, I think, pointed out, we have to change our mindset and separate our minds so we can physically move our bodies to that moment and that place and time. So the passion that you have, sister, don't ever give it up.
Well, Minister Farrakhan said that Allah is going to make us separate, because we are moving too slow. You know, we're moving too slow. We're look at the images that they put forth about the black woman. You know, even this so-called movie, Best Man Holiday.
Right.
All except one brother in there is married to a white woman.
In reality,
you know,
that's right.
Black
in real
women
life,
love this movie. And only but one of those brothers married to a black woman. The rest of those brothers, you know, they best mate is a white woman. And a lot of these hip hop people now are bleaching their skin to make themselves look white. Every time you go on the internet, you see another one who, I don't know if it's a pill or treatments, what kind of treatments, but our women do not even look like black women. And this guy pointed out, he said, you notice the black women look like white women, and he said, and all the white guys are trying to get with black women with nappy hair. So, you know,
yes, ma'am.
You know, so every time you see a black woman, if she with a white man, her hair is not, she don't look like Beyonce. She look like a sister with a dreadlock or a big, and so they want the natural woman, and our men, they must want a carbon copy or a ditto or something like that woman. Not all of them, you know, I'm not saying all of them, please. But, you know, the main point I see Minister Farrakhan is pointing us toward is our children. And that's, and I'm a teacher, so that's where my passion comes from, because I know what can be done to a child in the classroom, because the teacher is with the students more than their parents, and they have great influence on the children in every way, and this is the where they, when they brought us over here as slaves, they brought children. You know, the average age of a slave was 12 and a half. The youngest one was about 4 or 5. You know, it wasn't old people coming over here in chains that work in the field. It was children. And so we to know that our children are important. Thank you very much, Sister Ava, for allowing me to express this. I love you, and may you continue with the beautiful work you do. You are a wonderful sister. I love your book, Real Love. You helped me to understand what real love is. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And continue to do what you do. And Terrence, I love you. Sometimes I think you talk too much, but I still love you. I love you, and thank you for keeping me straight about the hip hop community. And thank you, brother. I love you.
I love you too.
My wife says she might get me next. I better stop laughing at Terrence.
Well, you know, Dr. Ridgey, I think my husband and your wife probably think we talk too much sometimes too. But thank you. And you know, I got to say, too, I had to step away and came back that I don't know if it was said, but, you know, Minister Farrakhan is a rapper. You know, you listen to what? Not, really, I mean, White Man's Heaven is a black man's
heaven. Go ahead.
That's right. Let it be known.
You know, and that the message, I mean, the Nation of Islam, I remember when we gave platforms to Queen Latifah. Anybody that didn't see her back in the late 80s wouldn't even recognize her now. You know, with Public Enemy and Big Daddy Kane and all of them, and the message music was so powerful. And then, of course, the Million Man March, just it all culminated in that powerful gathering. And it was a statement from Allah, you know, that army of black men. And this devil went to work. He's been relentless.
That's right.
And the first thing we saw happen is we talk about black women's image is the denigration of the black female, because truly a nation can rise no higher than its woman. And so everything that's put in front of us now, as Brother Burrell said, that I read from last week talking about that scandal show, everything that's put in front of us makes her the embodiment of hot sex. You know, she's an animal. And no matter how educated or wealthy she becomes, that's the totality of who she is. So when you see her on the screen as this prostitute, adulterous type, then when she gets shot in the face in real life, when her children are fired at, when she gets gunned down, out in the street, then it's like, so what?
Yep.
So there's a very strong correlation there. And I thought Sister Barbara, when she mentioned that latest one, the film was going to mention that, you know, in the content of it is the same kind of thing, and actually even deviant behavior is promoted. But it's wrapped in a beautiful story and a beautiful setting. That's how you get misled. Everybody is affluent. They're in beautiful homes, beautiful clothes, just surrounded by luxury. And the story itself is beautiful. But everywhere they can, they stick in this deviant, aberrant behavior that they know God hates.
Yep. Well, that's how they do. It's called the skunk of the planet Earth.
Come on. They take
everything beautiful and stink it up.
Right.
But
remember the minister said the skunk is a cute little thing. You almost want to pet it.
Right.
You know, they don't. Its appearance is inconsistent with what it is.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I remember growing up, the cartoons, we used to watch Bugs Bunny and all that, and I remember Pepe Le Pew, you know.
You're right.
he was always trying to date a cat.
Right.
You know, and you know, when you see him, he comes with flowers and all of that, but then that odor would come up and everything around would start running once he was exposed for who he was, which was a skunk. You know, so guess who's on the line? The one, the only, drum roll, Dr. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salam.
Wa alaikum salam, family. Dr. Ridley and Brother Terrence Muhammad, you know, I can't speak on Brother Terrence for another week. You know, I gave my word that I would give him a...
That's right.
And Dr. Ava, this has been the hardest thing. I don't know how many rock calls I had to do today to make it to this point. But this economic blueprint that's before us, this is the only blueprint that we've ever been given since we've been in this country. It's so profound that it seems complicated, but it's really very easy to understand. But it's coming from your own people. And that's what's so hard for our people. The sister that was on earlier, she talked about that. When a black man tells the truth, black people have to go and examine it. They go and find encyclopedias. They go and they find something on the Internet to kind of try to validate it. But since you have been washed with the scriptures of the Biblia, why don't you go back to the part that says this man was a dark man that you love so much? This man has feet like burnished brass.
Come on.
And his hair was rough and tough like that of a lamb's wool. Take a look at that man in your mind.
Oh, my God.
And look at these crankers that you've been looking at, that you're calling. They're not even human beings. They are grafted parts of the original man. They are parts that come with an odor. That's why a skunk, the worst part of him, is the white tail on the back. But the whole idea of what what's really going on here is the leadership is coming from a black man. And this man met Elijah. Well, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Elihi, Elihi, lama sabachthani. And they translated in English, he said, Elijah, Elijah, why have you forsaken me? So those who heard said, look, this man is crazed. Let's wait here and see will Elijah come. But Elijah didn't come then because it wasn't the time for Elijah to come. The God had to visit the dead to give them Elijah in another time and another place. So this economic blueprint is coming through Master Farad Muhammad, through the messenger in the hands of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You all have said everything else, and I just wanted to mention those things, and I believe that at a point, at a certain point, very soon, enough hell is going to be raised that our people are going to be running to the nation. And I did check up on that young lady whose son was castrated. She has an attorney. They have a court date. Do you know, I'm sitting here in the midst of Memphis, and there are no mad people about it.
Now, did this happen in Memphis?
Yes.
Where did this happen? It happened in Memphis.
Yeah, it happened in a makeshift clinic, one of the poorer clinics that that actually serve the poor, serve the homeless. And this lady went in, and she said, when my baby gets to be 3 months old, I'm going to take him and have him circumcised. They castrated one of our baby's sister.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Yes, sir. I don't mean to cut you off, Dr. Salam, but I'm going to go to Brother Lewis right after you because through his efforts, it appears we may be able to interview the lawyer Sunday on WVON.
Okay.
To put this in the mainstream of communication, because this has got to be brought into the homes and to the eyes and ears of black folks, because, you know, Sister Barbara quoted earlier, and you're reminding us, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and now the minister, Allah will make you separate. It is happening.
Yes,
I experienced it in Newark, New Jersey, in talking to the new brothers and sisters this past Sunday. And I told them before I gave the lecture, I don't have any time to build you up and prep you, you know, for what I'm going to give you. I mean, I'm just going to give it to you blunt. You know, it's too late.
Ma'am.
I mean, you should have came earlier, you know. But
yes, ma'am.
I can't find a way to serve this to you. You know, it's like when you're hungry and you know, you're close to starvation, you'll eat with your hands.
That's right.
You know, you don't need to wait to be served and start with the salad fork and all that. We did all that. You know, we've been around 83 years now. And so God has come. Nobody else is coming. He came to get us out, okay? And we forget that. He didn't come for us to lay around in hotels and go to Starbucks like I do and all that. I mean, he didn't come for that, for us to become affluent or be a backup singer for Beyonce or even be the president. He came to get us to a safety zone because America is slated for complete destruction. And she's doing most of it herself.
That's right.
To herself. So, but
well, dear sister,
I'm going to go to Brother Lewis
after
you, Dr.
Okay, I did put that on the final call, and I also sent it to Twitter.
Okay. Excellent. Praise be to Allah. No, because we're going to put this out in the open. Well, Walaikum Salaam. Thank you, sir. And I'm going to go. Yeah. Brother Lewis is actually on the line, so let me go right to him. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Lewis.
Walaikum Salaam, family. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, sir. Praise
really
be to
good. Gladys Knight used to sing a song, Neither One of Us Wants to Be the First to Say Goodbye. And that is becoming very, very relevant here. If black people don't want to say goodbye to white people, and because of what white people can get from us, they really don't seem to want to say goodbye to us. This show is just so powerful. As I was listening to Sister Barbara and Dr. Salaam and Sister Warrior Woman, you could hear the passion and anger and frustration with a diabolical system in their voice. And I feel that, too, and I feel like it's time. Someone said, well, no one in Memphis is mad. Well, no one in Memphis is mad because people don't know about it because we don't have a media apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth be told, when I worked on Max 94.1 FM, you can't even call a radio station, Brother Terrence, and request a song.
Songs
that we listen to are imported to us from New York, and there is no protest, and it's intentionally dumbing our people down. And so we thank you, Sister Ava and Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, for providing us with the intellectual collateral. Because now we're spiritually and intellectually bankrupt, so someone has to put up the thought collateral for us in order for us to have the right and appropriate actions at this time. It's very important for us to text these texts, email, Facebook. But not only that, Sister Ava, to be honest about it, you need to come to our respective cities and talk to our think tanks and our groups that we have, along with this this economic program following the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and land literacy, because farmers can talk, Dr. Ridgely will tell you that.
That's
we should all have a local land agenda, a local deliberative dialogue.
Exactly.
Give your money to the national, but locally get the ones together, and we already doing it in Baton Rouge by God's grace, but all across the nation, the minister already told us that. We should be moving to set up a beachhead, find someone who knows something about land or a building where we can move in close proximity to one another, and let's get busy. That's what
exactly.
we should be doing. So I mean, this whole thing, this little baby being castrated, I wanted to call last week. I was just so angry. I was just literally speechless. But a group of brothers and sisters with something that we're forming called Your Press is going down on the 1st to do some videotape of it also. So we got to keep
Thank
this
you.
Underground Railroad of information going.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Love y'all.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
We love you. Strong soldier. Thank you, Brother Lewis, so much. Well, Dr. Risley, Brother Terrence, yeah, believe it or not, we're under 10 minutes, just about at the end of the program. And I do want to dovetail from Brother Lewis. He says something very, very critical about starting where you are right now.
That's right.
The call has already been made. And even though we know we have Savior's Day in Detroit in February, and we are working diligently to have something in motion already in Detroit. Well, we do have something in motion in Detroit, but by the time all of the believers and the community comes in, there should be something palpable. But right now, the point he's making is if we're serious about this and responsive to this word, we should be moving right now to get with people who think like we think.
Right.
You know, and all of this research we've done on the Jewish community, you know, this is what you have to respect about the Jewish community. You know, they are very intent on ensuring that their children understand that above all is loyalty to your own kind.
That's right.
And they don't accept any excuses.
That's right.
For you supporting anybody or anything outside of their circle unless you can prove that it wasn't available.
Mm.
If it's available in their community, you know, for you to come and say you went to an Asian dentist and there was a Jewish dentist.
Come on.
It's not acceptable to them, but it's acceptable to us. And in fact, as somebody pointed out, we're the other extreme. We get something from a black man, we go to the white man's, I think Dr. Salam said it, we go into white man's research to see if he validates what the black man said.
That's right. That's what we do.
You know, and we're going to continue to do that until we begin to live together. If we live in the same city, why aren't we living on the same street?
Come on. That's right.
What's the reason for that? We all have to live somewhere, so why not together? But go ahead, Brother Terrence. I'm sorry.
No, and I'm glad you said that because it ties into what I was going to say. And, you know, it makes me think about, you know, when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he has so many lectures that we just go back and listen to some of them. Mm-hmm. And it made me think about going back to one of your lectures. And one of your lectures is The Last Man Standing. And I think at some point we may want to have you do a show on The Last Man Standing. Because I really want us to be clear that we in the Nation of Islam do not worship Minister Farrakhan. We take and we thank God for his guidance. At
yes.
the same time, we need to follow his guidance and make it
yes.
real as the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples, "Thy will be done on earth as it
That's
is
right.
in heaven." So I'm saying that in context, as it is in Chicago, out of the mind of Minister Farrakhan, so shall it be in your city. So we have to manifest the will that God has given him and show Minister Farrakhan in our city, in our personal lives, so people will not think that we're worshipers and cult followers of him, but he has good ideas that God has given him. And I'm saying that because people will think we're in this glory about Minister Farrakhan versus the ideas and the concept that are blessed, that he's blessed to give us from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So what Brother Lewis just said is a brother in our city named Brother Tariq been saying, we need to get a plot of land. I don't care if it's half an acre or just a little plot of land to start learning how to put your hand in the dirt and watch the process of growing. We have to do that. It does not take away from you supporting the economic blueprint, because I don't want nobody to make it twisted. If they said on the Ava Show, just do it, just do it in your land and don't support. No, support the economic blueprint.org.
Get it out, straighten it out.
At the same time, get you some land and know what it feels like to grow food, start to learn a trade, so when we have all of this land, you know what it looks like. That's why Dr. Ridgely said, I'm working with the black farmers because they love to farm. Why would I'm going to try to get you to love it too. But while they're already doing it, let's help them continue a lifestyle that the minister is taking us on. But I think that last man standing, if you can get away from the spookism and this fame of the minister, he is a beautiful, divine person, but he has given us practical applications that we really got to understand what he's saying. So we, not outside the nation, inside the nation as well, get away from the spookism and let's go to work.
Amen. That is so beautiful. And like Dr. Ridgely says all the time, meet me halfway.
That's right.
An economic reality is going to consist of rural and urban. All of the food that is going to start being produced through the black farmers, and a farmer is a scientist. Those land scientists who are going to begin to produce food that we can eat and grow from and think from. Because we're not eating food that is in harmony with Allah's will for us, the one that created these bodies. He knows what's supposed to go in those bodies, and the white man is not delivering that to us.
In fact,
he's seeing to it that we don't get it. All right? And so if you're not eating right, there's no such thing as having even the brain capacity to follow clear guidance that's coming from Minister Farrakhan. And so we have to eat right. And since most of our people have been herded into cities now, the farmers have to have distribution points in urban areas for the food to go to. Who do we think is going to distribute the food? The enemy?
Come on.
You think the enemy is going to come to Muhammad Farms and bring us the watermelon and the beans and everything? It's not going to happen. We got young brothers in their early 20s in Brooklyn, New York, as I speak, who have studied the grocery business and studied the science of food distribution, because the minister laid it out. Economics consists of production and distribution.
Right.
Investment and consumption. And the only thing, he said, the only component that we're engaged in is what?
Consumption. That's right.
We don't produce nothing. We don't distribute nothing. And we don't invest in nothing. And the economic blueprint puts us in all three of those missing elements. We're only in 25% of what is necessary for an economy. And we're in the worst part of it. Yeah, we're like the pig. You know, we just eat what is dropped in front of us and don't even look up to see where it came from.
That's right.
They put any food thing in our neighborhood and we start going there and eating from it.
they got new McDonald's, they got new Burger King, they got a new Wendy's, Checkers, Chipotle.
Oink, 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 oink.
Oink, 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 oink. You know, but we're down to 1 minute. Brother Terrence, Dr. Ridgely, Sister LaDonna, Sister Rona, and then the Sunday crew, Brother Ashad, Brother Timothy. Thank you all so much, and thank you callers and fellow believers
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan.
Thank you, Brother Bobby.
Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/ElevatedPlaces.
Love you all.
If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.